Bloomington Police Department has two bilingual officers, but no bilingual dispatchers to answer emergency calls, though they often use phone interpreters during emergency situations. Christina Courtright, a federal court interpreter in southern Indiana, says there is a difference between being bilingual and being a certified interpreter. But in matters of the law, the difference is more than just academic. Courtright says one skill doesn't automatically translate to the other.
The fact that you can speak two languages doesn't mean that you can interpret, just like having two hands doesn't mean you can play piano.
Certified interpreters have at least 2 years of training and must be skilled in interpreting a language's lexicon, grammar structure, and cultural elements. BPD Captain Joe Qualters says there is no official procedure for responding to a call involving a language barrier. He says when the two bilingual officers are either unavailable or off duty, officers typically use nearby relatives or acquaintances to interpret.
Sometimes if there are family members that might be bilingual, we can try to utilize them to assist us. And many times those people step up anyway to be the source of information for us.
Isabel Framer is an interpreter and has been a pioneer in writing policy on how law enforcement handles language access. She says there is actually a danger in using those nearby during a civil dispute or at the scene of a crime.
Friends and family members, they're not trained as interpreter. You really don't know what level language proficiency they have. However, what's most important is that family and friends are not neutral parties.
Captain Qualters says the BPD avoids using children for interpretation as it puts the child in a compromising situation. Officers also search for physical evidence to confirm the interpretation of the friend or family member. Attorney Christy Popp works in Bloomington and Indianapolis on civil cases involving immigrants. She says cultural differences can also be confusing. A large problem, Popp says, is a strong mistrust of police in other countries. In some societies, officers may be corrupt, accept bribes, and attempt to entrap a person they are interrogating.
If you come from a country that there's a dictatorship or it's only a democracy in name only, where the police are corrupt and they take bribes, there's going to be a level of distrust with the police, whether the police are doing anything or not.
Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 outlines some rules for all government services. The law says all federally funded agencies must provide meaningful access for residents of different national origin. Various Supreme Court cases have since determined that language is a part of national origin, and thus the Act also applies to language access. Under the law, if an agency receives any sort of federal grant or other monetary support for even one project, that agency is vulnerable to complaints regarding Title VI. Since the BPD is currently receiving money from two federal grants, it qualifies and could lose its grant funding if enough complaints are registered. Qualter says there is also a question of limited resources. Language training means additional curriculum costs, the continued pay of an off-duty officer, and a void in the police force during classroom time.
It may not be to a department's best interest to send somebody for that length of time. You're taking available resources from the daily needs of the street calls.
So how to police Bloomington, a town full of international residents? A police force that serves a population of nearly 80,000 may not be big enough to employ interpreters of several languages. In the conclusion of this two-part series Wednesday, court interpreters Christina Courtright and Isabel Framer discuss possible steps to providing meaningful access for all citizens. For WFIU News, I'm Emily Loftus.